Yesterday, Sayaji explained that Kusalanam Dhammanam Bhavanaya Nikheta Durata Pamado, meaning that when one has given up the duty of developing Vibhadagami Kusala, it is called Pamada. Everyone has the duty to develop Vivadagami Kusala, and one should fulfill the moral conduct, which is the foundation, and one should practice Satipatthana meditation so as to develop both the mind and the knowledge, and it is the most important duty for every human being. And also, Sayaji explained with examples from the worldly matters. And Sayaji also explained how one should be practicing so as to avoid pamada. And Buddha also explained about pamada using different terminology, and it is very noteworthy. And Buddha said, anasevana, abhavana, abhulikama, anadetana, ananuyogo, pamado. And Sayaji will explain from both theoretical and practical aspects. Buddha explained by using different terminologies. Buddha was very skillful in using these words. And in the text, there have been praises about this. And Sayaji explains that in the beginning of the summer months, where it is called Vasanta Utu, where the flowers are abundant and the trees are filled with new green leaves, and it is very pleasant to look at these scenery. And also in America, in the spring, the leaves that had fallen due to the winter, the new leaves come out and the trees look very fresh, green, with flowers, and it is very pleasant to look at these trees. So Buddha praised the beauty of these trees and the trees and also the flowers during the first of the summer months. And if these are to be explained, it will be very lengthy. Buddha's teachings, when one hears the Buddha's words, the teachings, one automatically understands the meanings, what Buddha was saying. That's why it is said Satta. It was filled with meanings that are deep and profound. So Buddha taught things that should be refrained from. And if one can refrain from things that should be refrained from, one's physical, verbal, mental behavior will be pure, clean, blameless, gentle, lovable, and it will be away from suffering. Buddha also taught things that should be performed, that should be fulfilled. Buddha's teachings were filled with meaning, and by practicing according to the teaching of the Buddha, one can gain benefits. So Buddha's teachings has the ability to give happiness, well-being, and benefit immediately. And in the Buddha's teaching, it mentions how one should rectify the wrongdoings, how one should balance what is excessive, and how to fill up what is lacking. And Buddha had taught many ways to do it. The wrongdoings are the evil conduct by body, speech, and mind. Committing evil conduct by body, speech, and mind, one's physical, verbal, mental behavior will be inferior. What it means by excessive is that everyone is encountering sensual objects, good things to see, good things to hear, and so on. When encountering these sensual objects, when one lets one's go mind freely, when one lets one mind go freely on these sensual objects without limit, it will become excessive. And it is kama sukhalika nuyoga, indulges in sensual pleasure. And there can also be extremes. One should make use of things, sufficient things. And if one is practicing self-tormenting practice by not making use of things that are needed, it will be atakilamata nuyoga, self-tormentation, self-tormenting practice, or self-mortification. And also, when one is making use of things in order to avoid excessiveness, one should be mindful when using things so that it will not be excessive. So one should balance, one should adjust so that it will not be excessive. And Buddha taught with great compassion. And the teachings of the Buddha is very good to listen and follow. And listening to the Buddha's words, one can know the meaning very clearly. And by practicing according to the teachings, one will be in balanced state and one will gain benefits and happiness. So in order to gain benefits, one should rectify the wrongdoings, one should balance what is excessive, and one should fill up what is lacking. There are things that should be fulfilled. One should be mindful on every arising object. One should guard and protect the mind with mindfulness so that mindfulness will be developed. As much mindfulness is developed, the concentration will become stronger and stronger, and one will know the true nature. And as one is being mindful, longer and longer, one will come to know more and more, and one will develop knowledge, One will know what is lacking, what is shortcoming, and what one should fill. So in order to avoid excessiveness, in order to avoid wrongdoing, one should be mindful. And in order that there should not be excessiveness, one should adjust by having mindfulness, so that one can gain peace. So the instructions given by the Buddha, the voice of the Buddha is very pleasant, very good to listen, and the teachings are very meaningful, and it brings happiness in the body, happiness in the mind, as well as comfort in the body. And one should refrain from things that should be refrained, and one should perform things that should be performed. By doing thus, one's life will be changed. One will gain a new life in this very life. And Buddha was very skillful in using the words, just like in the example, in the first months of the summer, where there are many flowers blooming, abundant flowers, and also on the hills, there are many flowers blooming, new leaves coming, and the sight is very pleasant to be looked at. Just as in the spring, there are abundant flowers which are pleasant to be looked at, the way Buddha taught was very pleasant. And one does not get satisfied by learning the teaching of the Buddha. One can never be satisfied by learning the teachings of the Buddha. One will want to continue to learn the teaching again and again, repeatedly. Buddha's teachings brings benefits without limit, and it is very obvious. And Buddha's teachings are good in the beginning, the middle, and the end. Hearing the teaching of the Buddha, one can remove nivarana hindrances, and by practicing according to the teachings, one can gain happiness. And by practicing, when one's vipassana becomes mature, one can finally reach nibbana, the cessation. And when one has gained cessation, it will be very good and happy. And thus Buddha's teachings are good in the beginning, middle, and the end. And it is very satisfying. So when the yogis are now having the opportunity to practice, they should be practicing respectfully, diligently, meticulously, and thoroughly. Satipatthana practice is essential for everyone, and one should practice Satipatthana meditation so that it will be complete. And Saraji says, within the days left, yogis should practice diligently, and they can progress, they can make dramatic progress even within the 7 days left. Just as in the spring, there are abundant flowers and new leaves, and the forest with flowers are very pleasant. In the same way, Buddha's teachings, which are very pleasant, just like the trees with pleasant flowers, Buddha had taught choosing words that are very beautiful and pleasant. Anasevana Pamado, meaning that if one does not practice, if one does not pursue practice, it will be pamada. One should practice so that it will become from less to many, and it is called asevana. And an example is given: if a bad smell has been in one's clothes, then one should ferment one's clothes with good fragrance so that the clothes will smell good again. In the room where there is bad smell, one sprays good fragrance in order to smell nice again. So in the same way, one should practice again and again, just like fermenting something with good fragrance in order to bring a good smell. And one should pursue practice. At first, one may not see the benefit, but later on, one gains benefit. So Saraji gives an example. The grades that one had learned when young, when they were learning at young, there were not big differences. But the child passes and is advanced to higher grades in school. Learning the lower grades makes the child learn the higher grades with ease. So the lessons that were learned in the lower grades, the child may not remember it, but it is a good foundation in order to learn the higher grades. And as the child gets to higher grades, it becomes easier to learn the lessons that are higher. So the lessons that he, she had learned in the lower grades are supporting the lessons that he, she is learning in the higher grades. In the same way, when the yogi is practicing, yogis should be practicing continuously, not even to miss the small details. And Saraji gives another example. The parents who are prudent, who take good care of their children for health and so on, they give their children vitamins in order to have healthy bones, to have strong body, and so on. So every day the parents give the child vitamins. So giving the vitamins for a few days, there may not be much difference, but as the days gone by, after some time, the vitamins that the child had taken makes his or her bones strong, healthy, and also a healthy body. So taking the vitamins will not give instant result, but it can give good result after some time. If a child that has been taken care well by the parents, and the child who did not receive much care in bringing up, if you compare these two, there is a big difference. Even though it does not make a difference within a short time, but Later on, it will be a big difference. There will be a big benefit, a big result. So in order to have good result, later on, one should start working now. And it is anasevana. One should do it repeatedly for a longer time so that it will bring benefit, just like fermenting the clothes with a good fragrance in order to bring good smell. That should be anasevana. One should pursue the practice. Whatever the object is, whether good or bad, one should keep on noting so that one gains momentum in the practice. If one belittles a single noting, thinking that it is insignificant, if the noting is continuous, one cannot build up momentum in the practice, and one's mindfulness can become weak. And Sarojeev gives another example. When taking medicine, one should take medicine regularly so that one has completed the whole course of medicine. So if one forgets to take the medicine, then one cannot complete the whole course and the medicine cannot do much. So just as the patient has to take the medicine regularly so as to complete the whole course in order to be cured, the medicine will show its effectiveness and the illness will be cured. A single dosage may not have any difference, but if the patient completes the whole course, then the illness could be cured. In the same way, when developing vivatakami kusala, one should not be stopping, taking it easy in the practice, thinking that a single noting, a few noting, is not significant. So if one stops in between, one cannot gain momentum in the practice and one cannot progress fast. So just as when one takes antibiotics, not regularly, not according to the prescription given by the physician, then the patient becomes immune to that antibiotic and that specific type of antibiotic will no longer work on the patient and the patient becomes chronic patient. So Saraji says, yogis should also be careful. They should practice diligently. If they do not practice diligently, if they are stopping, taking rest, then they can also become chronic yogi. So in order that one does not become a chronic yogi, one should practice respectfully, meticulously, continuously, proceeding mindfulness and the succeeding mindfulness should be continuous. And one should practice according to the guidance given so that one gains benefit in the practice. Buddha had taught Buddha's teachings and the benefits are in accordance. And another one is abhavana. If one does not develop, cultivate vivatagami kusala, then it will also be pamada. In the word abhavana, if one removes a, it will be bhavana. Bhavana means initiating, developing, cultivating. When the yogis come to the meditation retreat, they first need to learn the correct method of practice. They are asked to note rising and falling of the abdomen, focusing their attention on the abdomen. And when doing walking meditation, they should focus their attention on the feet, noting, lifting, moving, and placing. So the instructions are given how to be mindful. So when one gets to the sitting place and do his or her sitting, one should focus the attention on the abdomen. Every time the abdomen rises, one should note it with aim and effort. Every time the abdomen falls, one should note falling with aim and effort. In order to note rising and falling of the abdomen, one should aim the noting mind towards the object so that the noting mind and the object will be direct or face to face. And one should assert effort in the practice so that the noting mind gets to the object of meditation. Having aiming, directing keeps the mind open, blossom, and fresh, and laziness cannot enter the mind. In order to overcome kosaja, laziness, one should apply two factors, vitaka, which is directly opposite of laziness. Aiming is directly opposite of laziness, and one should assert effort, as effort is the overwhelming force to drive out laziness. So one should be noting rising and falling of the abdomen with aim and effort, and the mind, noting mind, will stick onto the object. When the noting mind sticks onto the object, sati, mindfulness, develops, and also samadhi, concentration, will develop. And it goes the same when doing walking meditation, noting, lifting, moving, and placing. Upadana means initiating. One should initiate so that mindfulness will be developed, and one should develop, cultivate, increase so that it will become more and more. One should be noting rising, falling continuously. And when one develops, cultivate mindfulness, there will be bhavana citta. Bhavana citta will become from small to big, from tender to ripe, from less to many. It is said that atano sandane puna puna citta janeti, meaning that if one initiates, develops, cultivates the wholesome mind that has the factors, aim, effort, mindfulness, concentration, it is called bhavana, and there will be bhavana citta, the mind that is associating with mental development, and one is developing, cultivating vivadagami kusala. So one should practice continuously so that the noting mind that has these factors, aim, effort, mindfulness, concentration, will become from small to big, from less to many, from tender to ripe. And one should continuously be mindful so that one gains momentum in the practice. Another one is Abahuli gama, if one does not develop this high class wholesome deed repeatedly, frequently, then it will be pamada. Bahuli gama means repeatedly, over and over again, frequently. And one should not do it just a few times, but one should do it again and again, repeatedly, over and over again. When rising of the abdomen is noted, one should not just note one rising. Noting one falling only, it is not enough. One should note every time the abdomen rises, every time the abdomen falls, one should note repeatedly, over and over again. And when doing walking meditation, noting a single lifting, single moving, and single placing, it is not enough. One should be noting every step, lifting, moving, placing. One should be repeatedly noting every lifting, every moving, and every placing. Saraji gives an example. If one reads a sentence just once, one may slip off, or one may slip one word when reading once. And there are times when one does not understand the sentence just by reading once. So one may miss some words in reading, and one may forget. So one should read the sentence again. And by reading the sentence again, the person understands better. And reading again and again, one gets more and more understanding of the sentence. The sentence is the same, but the understanding one gets is different according to how he, she reads it. And if he, she reads it over and over again, the person understands deeper and deeper. And the understanding one gets will be different as the person reads it over and over again. When learning science and technology also, it will be the same. Learning again and again, one understands better and better. And Saraji gives the example, when one looks at a row of termites from a distance, one may think that it is just a line. As the person goes closer and closer, step by step, as the person gets nearer to the line of termites, then the person sees clearer and clearer. And when the person is very close to the line of termites, one sees individual termites one by one. In the same way, noting rising, a single noting, a single time, it is not enough. So one should be noting rising and falling repeatedly, every rising, every falling, so that it will be bahuli gama. One practices repeatedly over and over. Abahuli gama means that not practicing repeatedly, just the person notes the object once, a few times, and then leaves it, getting bored to note it, it will be pamada. So if one notes the object just once and leave it as he, she gets bored, it will be pamada. The other one is anadhitthana. if one is not firmly determined, in the practice, it is pamada. When one is working on something based on the probability and the benefits, one should have faith and confidence. One should have firm determination in the work. So in practicing, one should be firmly determined in the practice so that one does not miss or fail to note anything. So if one is not firmly determined in the practice, it will be pamada. And if one is not determined, one does not have full faith and confidence, one's determination will not be firm and it will not be effective. Without firm determination, his or her practice will not be effective. So when one practices, one should initiate the practice and one should practice diligently so as to gain benefit. And practicing diligently, one gains benefit. So one should have determination, resolution, firm determination to practice. Another one is ananu yogo, meaning that one should be devoted to the practice. One should have initial effort, arambhatatu, noting rising and falling of the abdomen, lifting, moving, placing, and so on. One should have initial effort. And then in order to overcome difficulties, one should boost up effort. One should have step up effort, knowing that effort is very essential. One has to practice diligently. And one has to exert effort stage by stage until one finally reaches one's goal. If one does not practice in this way, then it will be ananu yoga. And Buddha explained by using these words on pamada. Another way, anu yoga means pursuing practice repeatedly, relying on the practice. Relying on the practice, one pursues practice systematically and one practices valuing, cherishing the practice. And one notes the object, the presently arising object, without missing, without failing, in order that the noting mind should reach the object. One should propel the noting mind towards the object, exerting effort so that the noting mind will reach the object. And in every noting, every time the yogi notes, one should exert effort so that the noting mind will reach the object. Having effort, laziness cannot arise, and one is not accepting kilesa defilements. One has to exert effort so that laziness, wanting to withdraw from the practice, cannot arise, and also other defilements cannot enter the mind. Asserting effort in the practice, one is removing defilements. Removing here means not giving any chance for these defilements to arise, and thus there will not be current of defilements. And one is opening the current of wholesomeness by exerting effort in the practice. Knowing that the practice is very beneficial, one has reliance on this practice, one pursues practice with reliance in the practice. Otherwise, there will be pamada. So the time is up. That will be all for today.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.